Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Taco Tuesday, because it's always about the food, y'all. So we're fishing up this discussion. You know, I called the first dipper of the show today Gen Z Rising, and I really believe that's the case. I've got people like JP in my life who's sitting right here in the studio with me, who has already said that, you know, one of the people that inspired him to be who he is as a young conservative was, of course, Charlie Kirk. But I want to go even deeper. We talked the other day to a young lady who is actually the president of TPUSA at the University of Alabama. And now I want to take a deeper dive, and I want to talk to someone who is actually still in high school right now. So you're about to hear from a young man named Lincoln Trumps. And with a name like that, I think he has to run for president. Lincoln Trumps. He's a senior at Lafayette High School in Lafayette, Louisiana. He founded a Turning Point USA chapter right there at his high school, and there's not as many high school chapters as you might think. There really aren't. So he's founded one of them, and it's known. He had the honor of speaking at the TPUSA Winter Gala at Mar-a-Lago. I understand he got a standing ovation for his speech. He also met with Charlie Kirk personally, got a scholarship from the organization. He's been very active in state and local politics even as a high school student, very successful in fundraising. He's in Model United Nations. He's a member of Louisiana's Youth Advisory Council, president of his Lafayette High speech and debate team. He just won, by the way, the Ronald Reagan Oratory Award, and he's heading to California for the Nationals on that. So without further ado, that's a long introduction, but it was worth it. Lincoln Trumps, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for making time for us, man. So listen, first of all, your name is Lincoln Trumps. Does that mean you're going to run for president? Is that really what's going to happen?
You know, in the typical fashion of a politician, I'm going to avoid committing myself right now.
That's fair. Good enough. Listen, you've been like heavily involved in TPUSA, and you've had some pretty neat experiences. I'd love to hear how that got started for you, and I'd love to hear about your trip to Mar-a-Lago, by the way.
Absolutely. The thing that first turned me on to Turning Point was my experience in the speech and debate world. And coming from the state of Louisiana, when one wants to like actually participate, you don't necessarily expect to wake up and see the world view like that you see up in New York, of where you see on very elite college campuses, where critical race theory, where kind of the woke ideology and intellectual sentiment is like commonplace. But in the debate world, I found that was very much the case. I'll never forget, at the final round of our national qualifiers my freshman year, I had a speech and debate judge write in her comments, "How dare you quote an enslaver like Thomas Jefferson in your speeches?"
Really?
And absolutely. And the thing was, we talked to the tournament hosts, we talked to people about it, and nobody ever did anything. And it's because it's expected. And that's what made me think, okay, how can we as conservatives try and fight back against the left stranglehold on education? And my old debate teacher actually suggested I look into Turning Point and how they can start high school chapters, because I've heard it, but I never heard about the capacity to start a chapter while you're still in high school.
Yeah. Well, and there's not many of them, right? Like I heard there was like maybe a dozen nationwide, or what do you think? How many are there at high school level?
I think there's a little bit more now. Okay. I know that in the past, especially when I was starting one, there were very few. I think there were only about 12 chapters in all across the South. Wow. But I know they're bigger in Texas now, and they've been growing pretty rapidly.
Well,
but it was a lot of trouble even to start it up at Lafayette High, and I think maybe that's one of the reasons why you see less high school Turning Point chapters. I know for us, what we had to do was we actually had to fight our administration pretty vehemently. We came in, initially tried to start one, and the administration okayed it, and then phone calls started. People whose parents objected called them saying it was a hateful organization. Someone called it a terrorist organization.
God. Unbelievable. And the rhetoric is unbelievable from the left, but that also means they're scared of you.
Absolutely. And I mean, clearly they were, because they just stopped calling until our school tried to shut it down. And even then, the only way we were actually able to start our chapter was by going out and talking at some local community events. They had Citizens for New Louisiana. They had some local Republican Party chapters, and a bunch of local political organizations we actually went to talk to, and we realized that what the school did was actually federally illegal. There's something called the Equal Access Act of 1984 that says they can't discriminate based on political viewpoints if you're starting a club. We have a Bible study club. We had a gender sexuality alliance. And if they have those clubs, then they're obligated legally by the federal law to allow a Turning Point chapter. And so we had to fight even to have those rights allowed by our school.
Well, good for you. And so you've been up now for a few years, 2 or 3 years?
Yes, sir, about 3 years.
That's great. So you went to Mar-a-Lago. I think TPUSA had, what, like a winter gala, and you were one of the speakers there. Tell me about how that came about and what it was like when you were there.
So our advisor for Turning Point, our local advisor, said, Lincoln, you have a good story about having to, like, fight with your school administration to get this club started up. And so she suggested I try out for Turning Point's Campus Warrior Award, which is the award they give to one college and one high school student nationwide for their ability to effectively, like, motivate people to get out and turn out and start other chapters up and essentially be part of the movement. And I was lucky enough to go through the interview process there and actually win the award.
Wow.
And I was able to go to Mar-a-Lago, and it was one of the greatest experiences I've ever had.
So you got down to Mar-a-Lago. I mean, you were basically a sort of a celebrity for the moment there. But when you gave your speech, how big a crowd were you speaking to?
Oh, several hundred people. And it was some big names. I know they had Carrie Lake there. They had James O'Keefe. And, of course, Charlie Kirk himself was there. Yeah. It was really an incredible experience, and one of the things that I will always keep with me from that was the fact that every single person we met there was genuinely nice.
Yeah.
It was the fact that every single person that we met there was a Christian. Every single person that we met there was someone who had a good head on their shoulders. And my grandmother came with me, and one of the things she kept commenting on was the fact they kept offering, you know, alcohol and everything there. And, you know, half the people there just didn't drink because they thought it was bad for you and things like that. And I just don't think you'll see that level of, you know, self-control at many other places.
No kidding. So you got a chance to meet Charlie Kirk personally. What were your impressions of him in person? And was it one-on-one or just in a group?
Unfortunately, I never got to talk to Charlie very extensively one-on-one. And,
okay.
But I did have the chance to kind of corner him for a little while at the actual gala. And what was really cool about that to me was we had talked a little bit about books, and that I said I'd only ever read one of his books. Well, about a week after we got home, that was really what most of our conversation consisted of, I got a box in the mail, and it was about 6 or 7 of Charlie Kirk's books that he had published, and they had been sent to me with a note. I don't know if he wrote the note or someone in his office wrote the note, but they said I did a good job at speaking at Mar-a-Lago, and they wanted me to have these books so I could read, and I think it's really just touching.
Wow.
That just off that, like, little simple conversation, I left with something, and he...
Yeah,
had them send me those books just because I mentioned I thought it would be an interesting read.
That's also a clear indication. I have heard that he was a very thoughtful individual who remembered people, and so he literally walked away from that brief interaction where you mentioned about the books, and it stuck with him enough to make sure you had something. So that's way cool. Listen, man, you've got very cool experiences. You've already fought with, you know, the establishment, so to speak, to get your own chapter going. But let me ask you, what's your sense of things in the wake of last week's shooting or assassination, really, of Charlie Kirk? What was on your mind, and what are your peers saying about it? What's the thought?
I would say I've seen two kind of spears. One is you realize that a man was shot in front of his wife and kids.
Yeah.
The other is you blame, you deflect. You point up a bunch of irrelevant stuff, try and downplay the fact that he was murdered in cold blood for his political opinions. And I saw the first sphere just a few days ago, actually. I went to one of the vigils that was being held for Charlie at LSU, Louisiana State. And while we were over there, it was packed. Every seat in the auditorium was taken, not just by college kids, but by high schoolers and even younger kids, too, who wanted to come out. And they actually had Speaker Mike Johnson, who came, and he talked a little bit about Charlie Kirk as well as the governor. And I think that was a really touching example. But on the other side, and this is something you see especially on social media, is saying, okay, this guy who at the time we knew absolutely nothing about, and even after they revealed he was living with a transgender romantic partner, accusing him of being MAGA, or saying on Instagram or social media, saying they're turning on their own, or this is just another example of far-right terrorism.
Yeah.
And just deflecting, or they'll point out some Charlie Kirk quote where he says that on occasion, order to protect our rights is an okay trade-off that some people die. Or they'll just bring up things about why you care about Charlie Kirk if you're ignoring Gaza. And it's just all this hateful rhetoric that's, I feel, is kind of being drawn out. And even if it doesn't say Charlie Kirk deserves to die, I think it's very telling when you have large groups of people who are coming out and talking about everything except the fact that he was murdered because he was exercising his right to free speech.
Yeah, that's a great encapsulation of the moment there, and you're right, it's still going on. But so let me ask you this: we got about maybe 3 minutes left here. What do you anticipate that his loss does for the movement that he was the founder of? Because I mean, I think his death is something that has hit multiple generations. But we were talking on the air earlier before you came on, but yet at the same time, his mission was your generation. So his mission in life was the Gen Z, the young voters, the young folks who recognize and feel now that they've been given ground to assert themselves both spiritually and conservatively in today's culture. What does this do for you and your peers going forward?
I think it is an absolutely tragic thing. But I think that God has the ability to ensure that anything will have results come of it that will be ultimately towards a good end.
Yeah.
And I think that Charlie Kirk's death will inspire a lot of people. And what I mean by that is I think there are a lot of people who maybe hadn't woken up yet to the reality of the amount of hatred that we're seeing, especially if you're in rural areas or areas where maybe you don't interact with people who would be considered part of like a radical leftist movement. But I know people who were very moderate, who were centrist or even kind of liberal, who texted me and they go, Lincoln, we're starting a turning point chapter at our school after what happened to Charlie Kirk.
Wow.
And I think it's one of those things where you just see something and it calls a lot of people to action. It's kind of a wake-up moment. And I think I read the other day that they had about 1,800 new chapters formed just in a few days after yeah. Charlie Kirk had died on the high school and university level. And I think what we're going to see is there's going to be a lot more movement from young people because this is someone who was a champion of young people. Even if you didn't agree with him, he was for young people's ability to speak up and make their presence known and be a part of the discourse. And so I think a lot of young people are going to wake up. But at the same time, I also think it's a loss of someone who was a really big champion for young people's rights to express themselves. I think that's a gap that we'll see how long it takes to be filled by someone who's equally charismatic and expressive and intelligent as Charlie Kirk was.
Well, that's a great word, man. And listen, we got about a little less than a minute here. Just real quick, let me ask you, your own TPUSA chapter at your high school, have you had any other students that suddenly want to join since last week?
Since last week, there's been a lot more talk about it, I'll tell you that. We've seen people at club meetings, not our own club meetings, but we've seen people at club meetings asking questions about how to join. When I was at the vigil, they had college students who were running up to the LSU president asking how to join their chapter. And so I think what we're going to see is a lot of growth. Yeah.
Yeah. Outstanding. Well, listen, Lincoln Trumps, first of all, good luck in the Ronald Reagan Oratory Nationals in California, man. I'm excited for you on that. And thank you for spending time with us today and for what you stand for and what you're doing. And keep the torch moving, all right?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. All right. Well, if that doesn't make you feel better about the future of America, and like I said, especially with a name like Lincoln Trump's, that's awesome. Love that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.